I want to talk today about feelings. Feelings are something we all have. And I think for the most part, you could say for most of the world, I think feelings drive just about everything.
That's right.
Why do we work hard? Why do we not work hard? Why do we go after the things in life? I think basically we want to feel good. And I think one of the reasons I like to hang out with Wayne is because he makes me feel good. Right? He's always joyful. He's full of the Holy Spirit. I think Wayne looks at people with Jesus' eyes. I remember one time we were at a barbecue, and a couple guys from the Latter-day Saints come over, and they had the white shirts and the helmet, and I was kind of going through an evangelical phase. I'm like, yeah, hit him with John, you know, fifth chapter John, you know, the angels and stuff. And he's just like, hey, what's up, you guys? What's going on? Oh, Wayne, you didn't crush him. You know, and I don't think Jesus wants to crush anybody. I think he wants to come in and just say, hey, you're my boy. I love you. I forgive you.
That's right.
Let's walk together. I got good stuff for you to do.
Amen.
And I also, if I've had a problem, and there have been many, I can always go back and I talk to Wayne, and I think he looks at me and says, he's never been judgmental. I haven't done anything that bad where he's like, oh, geez, you know, oh, man. But he looks at me with Jesus' eyes, right? And I think that's a lesson for us. How can we look at other people with Jesus' eyes? But he also uses Jesus' words. And I think that is a very, very powerful thing. And if I come with a problem, if I come with a crisis, whatever it is, you know, I'm a middle-aged guy, I got teenagers, I got crises on a regular basis, pretty much. Wayne just says, hey, all right, man, what's the Bible say?
Right.
And we open up the Bible, and if I feel unforgiven, he said, hey, I remember it, it was like it was yesterday. It was December in the year 2000, and I was feeling unforgiven. I said, Wayne, man, I'm broken. But he goes, okay, well, let's open up the Bible. What's 1 John 1:9 say? He says, well, if we confess our sins, he is just and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen. Oh, that's good.
That's the best news I've ever heard in my life. That's why it's the good news.
Amen.
But we don't always think that, do we? We're thinking, oh, I did this, I did that, I got bills to pay, you name it. You know, my car needs brakes, blah, blah, blah. When you, with an eternal perspective, hey, we're forgiven.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. And Wayne brings that to you. And hopefully I can bring that to you a little bit as well. So I want to share to you today is we're just going to talk about our feelings. You don't have to tell me all your feelings. I'm not going to tell you all my feelings. But I want to talk a little about what the Bible has to say about feelings. So my question is, so we've all got these feelings. Are they the end all be all? I mean, feelings drive us a lot. Maybe they don't, but I think, as I said before, they drive a lot of things. I think most of the, we buy things because we feel like it. You know, we've ever heard of retail therapy? Yeah, that's kind of feelings based. You know, we don't always need the things we buy, right? But we want to because they make us feel good. I'm not saying that's always a horrible thing, but if you can't, you know, your Macy's card, you can never get a hold of, and you might want to think about that. Because feelings, I don't think they should be driving. But we want to feel good, right? Pretty much humanity, it just wants to feel good. But the problem is we feel bad a lot of the times. And I kind of want to get into why do we feel bad? I think most of the population can be described as possessed. Not possessed. Well, that's a different sermon. We get there, it kind of dovetails with this one. That's for another time. So be here next week. I jest. Be described as depressed. And I got to tell you, I've been one of them. Right? And it's not a good thing, but it's a feeling. And it's real, and it can be overwhelming, and it can be crippling. So the question is, what do you do with that? Now, I'm not going to, I don't have a prescription just for depression. I got a few good ideas that I want to share with you, okay? But I want to talk about a few other bad feelings that we deal with. And I think that good or bad, that feelings pretty much follow our thoughts. Okay, you with me? If you feel depressed, you're not thinking about puppies and butterflies and heaven and unicorns and all that good stuff. All right, unless you really hate unicorns. Maybe that depresses you. I'm not going to judge. All right? Because we love you. Jesus doesn't judge you for being scared of unicorns. But for my example, I'm going to show you how my bad feelings follow my thoughts, okay? I got a little bit of ADD, or OCD, or ODC, because I'm or CDO, because then it's alphabet. So I'm in the Navy, and I work at NORAD US NORTHCOM, and that's a pretty classified environment. Got a bunch of secret stuff. None of it is really cool. So if you think, oh, he knows something cool, I really don't. It's not like Jack Bauer or anything like that. That's like over at Virginia and Langley. Mine's pretty much just some stupid numbers, and you'd be like, oh. It's like a magician. Once they tell you how to do the trick, you're like, psh, I'm not impressed anymore. Well, you would be impressed if you knew what I knew. So I'm not impressed by the EOD guys. You guys do bombs. I've been binge-watching MacGyver. You just got the blue wire. It's just that easy. So I don't want you to be overly impressed by those. But oftentimes I'll leave work, and we have to lock up our safes, right? We got these classified binders, classified bricks. And I can't tell you how many times I've gotten halfway across Colorado Springs and just turned around and went back because I thought, oh my gosh, I left the safe open. And sometimes I challenge myself for the weekend, like, Mitchell, you're not going to think about this all weekend. And I'll drive back on Saturday or Sunday and walk back. And not once in my almost 20 years in the Navy have I left a safe unopened. Not once. But I get that splinter in my brain and I get that fear in my heart. Oh, what did I do? I left the safe open. What if an insider threat grabs it and gives it to the Chinese?
Right.
You know, what if my boss finds it? It's like, oh, you did this, and they're going to go send you to Leavenworth and all this kind of thing. And your mind can do bad things to you.
That's right.
Right, when you have the wrong thoughts.
That's right, good
now, speak. Did I have the right thought? Was that safe open? Did I do anything wrong?
No.
But I had that thought. And I got to tell you, you know, that horrible feeling in your gut, like when you shot a window and you're waiting for dad to come home and your mom's going to tell him that you busted the window with the BB gun. You know, that feeling is still real because the thoughts are real.
That's right.
Right? Or, you know, maybe you thought a girl liked you, for the boys, you know. Maybe you thought a girl liked you and now you felt really good. And she didn't like you. Well, you still had those great feelings for a little while. That was great. And then it comes crashing down. Those feelings weren't based on truth. So I think our feelings follow our thoughts, right? And our thoughts, what do they follow? Well, they follow our beliefs, okay?
That's right.
And what do we base our beliefs on? Okay, well, we base them on the best information we have at the time, okay? I used to read about oil production. Who remembers when oil was like, gas was like $5 a gallon,
yeah.
You know,
that's
about
crazy.
You know, 10, 12 years ago, and I was sure, I was positive at times that oil was going to run out. It was just going to run out. I remember I did a recruiting trip up to Wyoming, and you know, I pulled out, it was a long drive, so I pulled off, took a snooze somewhere just outside of Laramie, and one of the alerts came on, you know. You know, turn to this station for more information about this emergency. And I thought, oh, that's it. That's it. The oil's run out. And I'm going to have to walk home and society's going to break down. Well, it was a flash flood. And I sat there. I was praying. God, why am I thinking this?
That's good.
And I was not basing my thoughts on reality.
Amen.
Okay? So if we want to base our thoughts, we want to have these good feelings, we need to have our thoughts based on truth. We
We need that, those thoughts based on evidence. And where do we get that? Anybody, this is an easy one. The Bible.
Yay.
That's exactly right. We have come to the crux of what I want to talk about today. If we base our beliefs on God's word, we can trust our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you get a bad feeling from beating someone up, you can trust that feeling. Right? If you get a good feeling from giving half a sandwich to your buddy that didn't bring his lunch, that's a good feeling. You get a good feeling from sharing the gospel with somebody, you can trust that, right? If you get a bad feeling about something that you have confessed and repented of, you can't trust that because of what the word says, all right? We can trust our feelings if they're based on God's word, but if not, we're a wave tossed in the ocean, and I have been there, and I still struggle with it. But hopefully, if there's someone here that's struggling today, I can share with you, there is light at the end of the tunnel, all right? Not just for heaven, which is great. We'll get to that later. Thinking about heaven is a fantastic thing. But there's light at the end of the tunnel to get away from these negative feelings, right? Because we can train ourselves to focus on what God's word has to say and who Jesus is,
yes,
and who God is.
Amen.
Right? And the truth will guide those feelings. Man, you can feel great. And I'm here to tell you, I've been in the valley and I've been on the mountaintop, okay? And it's much better on the mountaintop. And God will show you how to stay on the mountaintop. But he also, you know, Psalm 23, we walk through the valley, but we can trust that he's with us. He loves us, okay? And we don't have to be afraid, all right? So what I want to hit on is, what do we do with our bad feelings, like fear, guilt, shame, inadequacy? Anyone here ever felt, I talked about my fears, talked about some guilt before. Anyone's had those guilty things? I know we have, and I'll tell you why, okay? I'm going to go off script a little bit here, so if I jump around, please forgive me, okay? We can deal with these feelings, right? I have a very simple answer. All right? It's not easy by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
Right? It's easy to get rich. Work hard, save money, don't spend, invest, and live a long time. Boom! I got it. It's right there. Everyone can be rich. It's that simple. But that ain't easy.
Right.
Is it?
No.
Because I like fly fishing and hunting and cars. And last time I checked, they're not giving those things away. Right? And those things get in the way. But God wants us to deal with our feelings of guilt and shame, right? And these are the ones, I'm going to talk about this because those are the ones I dealt with, okay? Fear, sure, but it's the guilt and shame that really gets us, okay? And I already talked about 1 John 1:9. That's fine. I'll say it again. If we confess our sins, he is just and righteous to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
That means you're clean.
So good.
You say, God, man, I got angry at that person in traffic.
Hmm.
That's an easy thing to do, right? I even said some bad words in front of my kids in the back. You remember that time we were driving down 105 and it was snowy? It was snowy and that person came into my lane and I said the bad word. Yeah, I felt bad about that.
Good.
I said bad, because I've been in the Navy. The whole thing, swear like a sailor,
right?
That's not just a joke. Right? I mean, there's some bad language going on in the sea services.
Yeah.
And I was, I don't make a practice of that, but it happens. And I was so ashamed that I let that moment get a hold of me.
Yeah.
But I said, God, that was the wrong thing.
Mm.
He's like, yeah, okay, done.
Right.
And he forgets it.
Yeah. That's
good. And I came back one other time and said, yeah, oh, God, I said that bad word. I said, what bad word? You know, the one that time, he's like, nope, don't remember. You're good. All right. So, when we choose to believe that, we choose to believe his forgiveness over how we feel, okay, our feelings are going to begin to change because they are becoming the fruits of our thoughts. Those feelings are really the fruits and the thoughts of our beliefs, right? If we have the Bible in front of us every day, and I highly recommend it, Okay, highly recommend reading the Bible every day, because it's those truths, we anchor on those truths every day. Those feelings are going to start to manifest themselves, because it's based on our thoughts.
Amen.
And our thoughts are based on the Word of God. What a great thing. God doesn't change.
That's right.
Right? We're forgiven today. We confess we're forgiven tomorrow. His mercies are new every morning.
Yeah.
Okay?
So good.
And I want that to be on the forefront of our minds and keep that in our minds till it makes our way down in our heart. So our steady state is, God, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for forgiving me. All right?
It's good, Steve.
And if we feel guilt over that sin we've confessed, well, that's wrong, because our thoughts were wrong.
Amen.
I don't want to get too hard here, but unbelief is basically, you know, feeling bad about something that God has forgiven us. That's kind of worry and fear. That's kind of being a temporary atheist. That's kind of like saying, God, you said it, but I don't really believe that, Lord.
Mm.
You know, you said I'm forgiven, but, you know, I think this one thing I did, yes, your blood saves humanity from all its sins, but mine is special, Lord. I think that's a little bit kind of temporary spiritual pride. And I'm guilty of that. And I hold on to that.
That's good.
Okay? So feelings are just, they're the fruits of our thoughts and our beliefs. And if we feel wrong, then what are we believing? Do we believe that we're forgiven? Right? Or, in the back of our minds, we wonder, am I really forgiven? Do I need to do something else before I'm truly forgiven? Well, I've been guilty of that one, because it's just too good to be true, isn't it?
Mm.
It's too good to be true. All the crappy things I've done in my whole life. And I want you to imagine the thief on the cross, right? He admitted himself, he's guilty. He was a thief. The other guy was a murderer. And God just said, you're going to be with me in paradise, man. Because you believe in me, I'm going to forget it all. How about the woman that was caught in adultery?
Yeah.
Now, this is not just a person who's like, oh, you know, I've lived a sinful life. You know, I cheated on my taxes and I didn't love my husband like I was supposed to. She was caught in the act of adultery. Now, at that time, what was the penalty for the act of adultery?
Death.
You get stoned, right? And what did Jesus say to her? Yeah, he told everybody that picked up the stones, hey, if you haven't sinned, you go ahead and throw. And then everyone walked away in their shame, which was probably a pretty righteous shame. You know, if you're about to kill someone and can't confess your own sin, that's not bad shame, as long as it brings you to the cross.
Right.
Shame's not a bad thing. But he looked and said, where are your accusers? She goes, I don't have any. And he said, neither do I accuse you. You go and sit on
that. That's so good.
All right? We are all that woman.
Yeah.
Right? We are all forgiven.
Yeah.
What about you gotta help me out here. We were there. It was a pool of Bethesda.
Yeah.
And Jesus heals the man and sees him later.
Pick up
and he says, hey.
Right.
Hey, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Right?
Yeah.
I tell that to myself every single day. Okay? Because I have these feelings and they come on me. Right? And I feel bad about what I did. I feel like not being good enough. And I got kids. And I try to be a good dad, but sometimes I fail. And boy, if you've been a parent, you know the feeling of, oh, I just wasn't good enough. Right? And that sucks. But God says, hey man, cheer up, buck up. It's cool. You are forgiven. I've wiped that away.
That's good.
Right? Now, yeah, are there gonna be consequences? Yeah, there can be consequences. If I don't keep my word to my kids, they're going to be like, man, you know, dad really messed up. Yeah, and you got to earn that trust back, right? And, you know, you got to work at those relationships. I'm not saying that there are no consequences, right? But the big consequence, that one's done. We get to go to heaven.
Yeah, thank you,
and
Jesus.
And that is
awesome.
Well, I tell you what. Think about heaven, I think, is my best short-term prescription for all the worry in the world. Besides the fact that God says, don't worry.
Right.
And if Jesus says, don't do it, we shouldn't do it.
That's right.
Simple, not easy. Okay, but once you get there, it's great. All right? So, back to feelings. Our feelings can be a great revealer of what we are really believing under the surface. All right, New Testament says a lot about conscience, and I believe we were meant to have a clean conscience. And, you know, I'm going to jump all over here. I'm kind of going to go off script. But where do all these feelings come from? Right? So I do something wrong. I get convicted. I go, God, I'm sorry I did this. I'm not going to do that again. He says, well, I'm glad you agree with me. And well, let's not do that again. Forget about it. And then it comes back in our head over and over and over. All right? Well, where does that come from? I think that comes from the enemy. Absolutely. Now, how does the enemy put thoughts in our head? I don't know. But the Bible says that it happens. And in the Navy, we go to a lot of schools, right? We do a lot of training. And when I was in pre-flight school, they were telling us about how jet engines worked. I have a degree in English literature, right? My knowledge on the engineering involved in modern jet engines is a little bit low. But we go through this class, the guy instructing us says, hey, just, all right, you don't have to know everything, you don't have to design your own jet engine, just hit the I believe button, right? And that's the thing we do in the Navy. Well, does that have a parallel to the Christian life? I think it does. The first time we hit the big I believe button, I believe in Jesus.
That's good.
That's the best button you can ever press, because that means you have fellowship with God and you have your name written in the book of life. Mm. But every time we get to the Bible and he says something, I don't know how God made the world in 6 days. The Bible says it's good enough for me. I hit the I believe button.
That's good.
Right? So let's hit the I believe button, because the Bible says that we work against principalities. Right? And these are spiritual things. And I believe spiritual warfare is a battle for your mind. Right? Because if you can believe the wrong thing, you're going to think the wrong thing, you're going to feel the wrong thing. And yeah. It's very tough for God to use you if you're not feeling how he wants you to feel. Okay? So I think God wants us to feel forgiven and have a clean conscience. And I can prove it. For those of you who brought your Bibles, turn, if you will, with me to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. And it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Mm. Man, I love that.
That's good.
It's because my conscience should not be dictated by how good I was. Mm. My conscience can be dictated based on his blood.
That's right. That's
and
good.
His blood is all powerful. It washes away the sins of the world.
Yeah.
And it will wash away your sins if we confess them and give them to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so we can go to God, and we don't have to think about that bad stuff. Right? If you're a parent and you have a kid and they do something bad, right? Let's say they walk into the house with really muddy shoes. Okay, well, that's not a great thing, but we can wipe that away and clean it up. Now, if our kid on Sunday walks in the house with muddy shoes and we have them clean it up and they clean it up, the next day, do we want them to stand out in the rain even though their shoes are clean because they tracked in mud yesterday?
Wow.
Hey, come in and dinner's ready. I need you to come inside because it's 10 o'clock at night. You need to go to bed. I'm sorry, Mom, Dad. I can't come in to dinner and go to my nice warm bed because my shoes were dirty yesterday.
Wow.
Would you be a little frustrated with your kids? Hey, I love you. I want you to sleep in a warm bed. I made your favorite cornbread. It's getting cold.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry, Mom, Dad. My shoes were dirty yesterday. I can't come in.
Wow.
I'd be frustrated.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, my mental children have never refused to come inside when we had a hot meal. Praise God. Thank you that they came inside. But that's what it's like when we tell God that we're not forgiven.
Wow.
That's what it's like when we tell the Lord, my sin was too bad.
That's good, Steve.
He's telling you, no. Mm. My blood covers it all. You're my child. I love you. And I want what's best for you.
That's so good.
And what's best for you is not standing outside in the rain.
That's right.
But it's that wrong belief, that wrong feeling that keeps us standing out in the rain.
Good preaching, man.
Don't stand out in the rain. Come inside. Now, if you got to confess something, let's confess that.
Right?
All right, that's step one. That's good stuff. All right? It even says that in the Bible. And hit the I believe button on that one too.
Yep.
Okay? But believe that he loves you.
That's so good.
All right? He wants us to have a clear conscience so much that his blood covers us. Our conscience is clean because he wants it that way. Our guilt and our shame are like crying over a perfectly white shirt that just came back from the cleaner and screaming, oh, the shirt used to have a stain here. Maybe I can't wear the shirt to church. It had a stain yesterday. No, it looks fine now. But it used to have a stain. Okay? I don't want you to be that person. If we don't stand the word and believe we're forgiven,
right,
how can we feel forgiven?
Wow.
We can't. And God wants us to feel forgiven. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they mean when he says you're going to have rivers. You're going to have rivers of living water flowing out of your heart.
Yeah.
Right? You ever done something bad, like in the real world, done something bad and someone's like, hey man, it's like a good friend, and you let your good friend down and they say, dude, it's cool. Ah!
Right.
Didn't your heart feel good?
Yeah.
Don't you just have that welling up in your heart? I think that's metaphorically what the Bible's saying, the rivers of living water are going to flow out your heart.
Amen. Amen.
And that's what God wants us to feel like, because when we have the overflowing, right, that's how we can serve God.
That's so good.
God doesn't want us to serve him out of fear and a guilty conscience. Okay? Now, if it takes a little fear to get saved, okay, that's great. He talks about hell.
Right.
Right. We don't want to go there. We got the stick and the carrot. We need a little bit of stick. Hey, nothing wrong with that. But once we're saved, right, he told the disciples, hey, you guys don't need to take a bath again.
Right.
You just need your feet clean once in a while.
Mm.
Oh, that kind of ties in with the shoes and the house. Oh, this is good stuff. All right. He wants us clean because that's how we can serve him. All right, so we have guilt. Let's confess our sins, repent of them, and move on, knowing that we are free. By his blood, we are free.
Mm.
Right? If you don't, and this isn't a secret, right? This isn't like me being this great new expository pastor, right? I've had to have this, I just preach this to myself, right? I'm free.
That's good.
Right? You are free. We're free because of his blood.
Hallelujah.
And let's walk out there just, and I hope, God, I hope I never lose the wonder of that fact.
Yeah.
I hope when I am 102 years old, just sitting out on the porch in the ranch that my children bought for me, because that's what I love. I just wonder, God, your blood did it all. It's just, we'll never be able to wrap our minds around it.
Yeah.
And I hope we don't, because it's that childlike wonder that I think God wants to sit there and go, man, sit there in bed at night, I'm really free. Yeah. Like, I bought my kids something cool one time. I think I bought Kip a shotgun. It was a surprise. We went out shooting. He's like, Dad, I really like this gun. I'm like, yeah, it's yours. He's like, no way. I'm like, yeah, way. And he was happy, and I was happy. I was great. I love giving my kids good gifts.
That's great.
And our Father in heaven loves to give us good gifts.
Amen.
And the best one is his blood.
Yeah.
Because we're free. And we can walk around just going, why do you cry? Why are you Christians just so goofy happy all the time? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you, it's because of the blood, and he's cleansed us. Right?
It's good, Steve. It's awesome, man.
So what about fear? So that's guilt. What about fear? Fear for me has been crippling and paralyzing. Literally, I've had days when I felt fear. That day up in Wyoming, oh, there's no more oil. Because, you know, the cover of National Geographic was like, peak oil. We were never going to be able to produce more oil. I'm like, oh no, that's terrible. And I talked to one of our recruits at the School of Mines. I'm like, dude, when are we going to run out of oil? He's like, never. I'm like, God, I feel better. All right, thanks. You talk to a petroleum engineer, it makes you feel a little better. You know, the Teslas are coming out, and you know, gas is getting cheaper. I'm like, this is great. We got wind energy, or we still got cheap gas. And God loves us.
Amen.
But fear is paralyzing. And the enemy wants us to be paralyzed. Okay? He wants us to be still. Because if we are paralyzed with fear, we are not walking in faith, and we are not proclaiming the gospel. Right? Have you ever been just scared to death of something you thought was going to happen? Do you run out and tell people about Jesus? No. You got too much stuff on your mind, okay? The enemy wants us to walk in guilt and shame and fear. God doesn't want us to walk in guilt, shame, and fear. Look at Hebrews 9:14 again. He purges our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. God loves us. He wants us to walk in good works. He wants us to serve Him. But the enemy knows that if we're scared of unforgiveness, right? If we're scared of not paying the bills, right? If we're worried, if we feel guilty about all the things we've done, if we see ourselves as not clean, we're not stepping out and sharing the love of Christ, right? But we know that's when we can take those feelings and go to the Bible and say, you know what? I'm clean because of the blood.
Yeah.
Thank God, I am peaceful. I can go out and I can tell someone, look them straight in the eye with conviction and say, God loves you. He will forgive you.
That's so good.
If you're not forgiven, you're not going to tell someone, I mean, that's kind of hollow, right? You ever get approached by someone doing multi-level and they're telling you, you can make $1 million. I'm like, you're driving a 78K car. It doesn't line up, right? And I want that good feeling because I want to share, man, when I went to the Philippines and told people about Jesus, I felt so filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And we preached it, we believed it, and they believed it.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. But you can't do that if you're believing the lies of the enemy.
That's good.
Right? I really think it's only when we stand on His love and His sacrifice and His forgiveness that my heart is light, that I have peace, my mind is clear, and that I can focus on the work in Him. Right? If we are afraid, we are listening to the enemy. Okay? Let's look at 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love is casted. Perfect love, I guess we're King James here. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear is torment, and it's from the enemy, and he wants to paralyze you. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Now, I can preach this to you pretty easily, because that's something I tell myself every day, because the enemy apparently doesn't like what I'm doing, which is a good sign,
right?
So I want you to take comfort in the fact that if you feel guilt over your sin, if you feel fear, right, if the enemy is telling you you're not good enough, man, praise God, because you are doing something for the kingdom.
That's right.
Okay? Who here likes to watch football?
Woo!
Oh, love me some football. Go Packers. Go Broncos. Go Packers. All right? Have you ever noticed that they don't tackle the people that don't have the ball?
Right.
Seriously, if you are not a threat to score, you don't get tackled.
That's right.
They block you a little bit. Oh, I'm not going to let you touch the quarterback. But you don't get tackled. They don't drag you down unless you're going to put points on the board.
That's right.
Right? And if you believe what the Bible says and you accept His forgiveness, you share that with other people that are lost, the devil doesn't like that, right? Now, people that go to church twice a year, right, cheat on their taxes, cheat on their spouse, let their feelings for lust and greed and gluttony drive them. Do you think they're getting shame and fear from the enemy?
No way.
No, because the enemy wants them right where they are, right? But if you believe this and you walk in it, you're going to get tackled.
Yeah.
Let's praise God for getting tackled.
Amen.
Right? Because you know what He does? Okay, I didn't think about this too much. The metaphor's going to break down at some point. But God's blocking for us.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of like rugby. Once you get tackled, you still give the ball to someone else. So you get tackled, you give the ball to Jesus, He'll hold the ball and then block for you. And He'll give the ball back to you and let you run for a while. And let you score the points. Now, Jesus is going to score the points all He wants, right? The people that are going to heaven are the ones that made the choice. And God's, they're going to get to heaven. Do you want a part in filling up heaven?
Yeah.
I do.
Me too, man.
Let's be a part of that. God gives us the ball. He builds the stadium. He runs the league. He pays all the players. He gives us the ball so we can score the points and we get credit for it.
Wow.
And it's all for Him.
That's awesome.
Now all the people sitting on the sidelines, they can believe, right? And I think your belief's going to send you to heaven because God is that good of a God, right? But if you want that reward in heaven, right, let him give you the ball and just expect to get tackled. And once you get tackled, he's going to brush you off and dust you off and say, good job, all right. And the more you believe in him, the harder it is for the enemy to tackle you. Pretty soon you're running touchdowns all the time. Sure, the enemy's going to tackle you. Psh! You give him the Heisman Award. Sorry, don't try to tackle me. 1 John 1:9.
That's good.
Wow, I didn't write any of this down. But am I over my 29 minutes because I hear the guitar? All right, I've got one more metaphor that I want to talk about. Okay. I feel like I can keep going on. And I want to talk about ways to deal with our feelings, okay? A big stronghold in my life is the idea that God is angry, okay? Now, he's angry at sin. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be wrath. And read red letters at the end of the book. It gets really hairy, okay? But you hit the I believe button. You don't have to worry about that, okay? But I want to talk about God's character because
It's good. Come on, Steve. It's good.
I saw God as an angry father. My dad's a good dad. I love my dad. And he was very loving to me. There's a few times he got angry. And I think the enemy uses those hurts. Mm-hmm. He makes you think that God is like your imperfect earthly father. And nothing can be further from the truth.
That's good.
We look at Joel 2:13. It says, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate. He is not easily angered.
Wow.
And he is filled with kindness, and he is eager not to punish you.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the loving God.
Yeah.
That's the loving God who said, Israel, Israel, how I have longed to gather you under my wings like a hen with her chicks.
That's good.
And love you and protect you. Let's look at the good shepherd of Psalm 23. Do you ever see a shepherd yelling at sheep? You probably haven't seen a lot of shepherds. But I'm here to tell you, shepherds don't yell at their sheep, right? They don't beat them with a stick.
That's right.
They find them and they feel them and say, oh, poor little sheep, do you have a thorn in your foot? Is something wrong? Do I need to shear you? Come on into the fold. I'm going to protect you. Oh, there's a wolf. Boom, I shot the wolf. You're safe. Okay? That's our loving Father.
Yes.
He is the Father.
Amen.
In the 15th chapter of Luke, that saw his son coming from a long ways away and wrapped his arm around him and said, I love you. Everything I have is yours.
On,
you
man.
Are dead, but you are
it's
alive
so
again.
It's so
I
good.
Love you, my son. Let's have a party.
Amen.
Get your room back. Here's keys to the car. We're going to have your friends over. We're going to order Domino's. We're going to have a big barbecue. I think it was a fatted calf, right?
Right,
fatted calf, Domino's, they're all yummy. That's the God of the Bible.
Amen.
Okay? And if we have that picture in our head, it's a lot easier to feel like we're forgiven, isn't it?
Amen.
It's a lot easier to have that river of living water flowing out of our hearts when we can go forth without fear.
Amen.
Right? We can go forth into whatever God has called us to do. Right? Because your big brother Jesus is standing behind us with a hockey stick saying, you mess with my boy, you mess with me. Okay? That's the loving Father. Right? You come to Dad's house, Dad's standing on the porch, and your buddies from up the street want to beat you up because you beat him in baseball or something like that. Boy, once you cross the lawn, they're like, uh-oh, his dad's there. That's exactly right. Now, if you're really a jerk, maybe Dad will let you take a few hits to teach you some lessons. Because God disciplines those who he loves.
Yeah.
All right? But the point is, God loves you.
Amen.
And if we focus on what the Word says about his love, we're going to think that. We're going to feel that. And how much easier is it to share the love of God that we know in our heart that it is the pure love from the perfect Father. Last thing I'm going to leave you with, kind of a metaphor on the armor of God, but I'm going to take it a little different direction. In Revelation, it's toward the end, isn't it? That was a Bible joke. Revelation 22:14 said, blessed are those who wash their robes. They will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city and eat the fruit from the tree of life. Okay? Confess your sins and wash your robes. Alright? He wants nothing more than be the great launderer and clean those sins away. Right? If we wash our robes. And I gotta tell you, I feel like I need to read this stuff every day, because you go out in the world, right? And it's cold and it's raining, okay? And it doesn't feel good. But then I wash my robe and I think of God's love as being a robe He puts over us,
yeah.
Right? And we can handle the rain and the wind and the storms of the world when we've got that robe on, okay? And that robe is also a whole lot like the armor of God. You know, we put on the helmet of salvation. We know we're saved. The enemy can't hit us and say, oh, you're guilty. You say, no, you can't get me. I'm saved. We put on the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth. Okay, and we wield the sword. And we can handle that storm. A lot of times, we just want to stay in the house. Okay, now God's house is warm and it's safe and it's dry. I love being in the house. Okay? I love being in the house. We're in the house right now. And you guys feel safe and warm and kind of fuzzy because we love each other. That's good stuff. But we can't score points staying in the house.
Right.
This is where we work out and we get fed and we get strong so we can go out in the storm.
Amen.
Right? Because the people that need to be saved are out in the storm. Right, they're out in the wind and the rain, and they might like it, they may not know it, right? But we're gonna get beat up out in the storm, all right? And what I wanna encourage us to do is while we're in the house, while we're in the safety of our homes and the safety of the church, get into God's Word so it becomes natural. You don't even have to think about it. You just walk outside and you've got your robe on. You keep that robe clean. You keep your armor in good repair. We can weather the storm, and we can bring other people into the house, okay? It starts with who God is. It starts with us knowing in our head what God says in the Word and getting it into our hearts, right? I've gone over time, but if you would just remember this as we walk out, God loves you, He forgives you, all right? He's the loving Father. Are clean in God's eyes. All right? So, my church, thanks for letting me preach today. You know, if you're ever overwhelmed by the enemy, you know, He sent out the disciples 2 by 2 so they could lean on each other.
Yeah.
Right? You got a spiritual battle, you got a problem, give me a call. Wayne's got my number. You know, give Wayne a call and he'll say, hey, I'm sorry you're going through that. Let's pray and hope. What's it say in the Bible? Alright? And I think if we just do that morning by morning by ourselves, pretty soon you're going to be the person that someone else can lean on. You're going to have that in your heart. You say, hey, don't think about what happened last year. You're a different person. You're a new creation in Christ. You are clean. You can share that. And then they're going to believe that. They're going to share. We're going to build a kingdom based on what His Word says. Thank you so much.
Character and nature of God. He's a good, good Father, just like we sang about earlier. Man, you got me, buddy. You got me right there. It was awesome, right?
Yeah.
Let's not live in condemnation. Let's not live in fear. Let's not walk around as if we're defeated, because we've already won in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. maybe you've come today, you don't know the Lord, or maybe you're watching or listening to the podcast or on our website today, and you're like, man, I don't know that I really know God like that. I want Jesus in my heart. You know, He created you to have a relationship. God created everyone to be with Him. And our sins do separate us from God. And sins can't be paid for by doing good deeds, or giving a lot of money to the church, or giving clothing to poor people. No, no. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. So everyone who trusts in Jesus can have eternal life. And that eternal life begins the moment you invite Him in and acknowledge Him as Lord. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes today? There are some folks here I don't know, and maybe you need to commit your life to Christ. If you just say, you know what, Pastor Wayne, I need to pray that prayer today. Today's my day. Or it's been years and years since I prayed that prayer, but I think I really need to pray it again. I think today's my day to really make it real. Slip your hand up around the room, and I'm just going to lead you in prayer. Thanks. Anyone? Just thank you. A couple people here. Over here to my left. Yeah, very good. I'm so proud of you. If you're watching or listening online, just email me, PastorWayneH@mac.com. Let me know that you're praying in spirit. Thank you. So many hands today. I'm so excited for that. Church, loud and proud. Let's just pray this prayer of commitment to Christ. Say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for going my own way. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. Please come into my heart. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Amen.